Satnam. Hello, everybody. Today we are in the sunny month of June, 2013. I'm just looking. Yes, it is. It is June 4th. Okay, great. Great, beautiful. So take a breath in, and I was really enjoying getting ready for the call today because, I don't know, it's like maybe half an hour before the call, the angels started coming in, and it was so beautiful, and I was joking with my friend. I said, I think sometimes we have more angels on the call than humans, and so those of us that are in 3D form, those angelic beings that are in 3D form. So it's a very beautiful experience, and it also shows me what we've been asked to talk about today. And what we've been asked to talk about today, we started to work with last week about the mythology of Gemini. We talked about there was two sets of twins, two boys and two girls, and half of them ended up in heaven and half ended up on earth. And there's been a war, like Krishna and Arjuna, like the Bhagavad Gita. There's been a war ever since that time, since the time of that creation, of fighting between heaven and earth. Like there's been a tension. And so what we're moving into now is we're moving into reconciling that tension and embracing each other. We need to look at the shadow and love the shadow. And the light needs to look at and love the shadow. And the shadow is being filled with light, so it gets to also be blessed. So we talked about that. On one level, everything in 3D actually is the shadow. So words can have many different meanings, and we use the word, we talk about the shadow as being, you know, like our dark side or somebody else's dark side. Like the shadow is something that we want to get rid of. And another definition of shadow, as you move, we talked about there's the different awarenesses as we move into the different dimensions. So when we move into the fourth dimension, the shadow, instead of becoming duality, like something that's bad, good, bad, where there's a value judgment, it becomes polarity. And then we move into the fifth dimension, and there's a unifying field, the unified field, the mind of God, that embraces everything, so we can enjoy polarity. So what I was saying is that at the level of 3D, of everything that we see around us, everything that we see around us is actually a shadow of the light, because anything that is in form has to be held together by a certain density, which is darker than the light. So density is darker than the light. So we're just looking at different levels of density rather than shadow bad, you know, light good, I'm good, you're bad. So part of this time is really moving out of value judgments, out of psychologically evaluations where we're intellectually, psychology has been about intellectualizing people's developmental stages, so to speak, or people's different behaviors. So it's really from the head. Diagnoses are from the head. And every time you turn on the TV or something, it's like they have some kind of new diagnoses about something. Oh, now, you know, all the kids are bipolar, or they're, you know, hyperactive, or ADD or whatever. I mean, there's all these labels which have nothing to do with what is going to actually bring healing to whatever situation that we're working with. And like with all the ADD labels in the school systems, it's not the kids that need to change, it's the structure of the schools that keep them from being the creative, crystalline, indigo children, whatever you want to call them, that they are. They need a bigger playground than just these four walls where they're supposed to sit in a classroom and read out of a book. That's so outdated. So we're looking at the whole energy of these crumbling structures that have held the form of 3D in an darkened state. And that's the distinction as we move from 3D to 4D, as we move into these times. The structures that have held the forms that are in 3D in an imprisoned and darkened state where there wasn't room to interact, play with, enjoy, be with the light. So the analogy of schools and the diagnosis is a good analogy because we just want these beautiful children to be able to create and be as present to that which expands them as they want to be, with holding them within a safe structure, not an oppressive structure. So the 3D that we're moving out of, as we know, has been very oppressive, where we feel that we've been oppressed by something bigger than us, by authorities or banks or children in schools or however it's shown up for us personally, what we personally felt oppressed by. So that's what we're moving out of. So as we look at our own shadows and then conversely the shadows that we see in the world around us, what we want to look at is first, for looking at our own shadows, is the question to ask ourselves is, what do I experience I feel oppressed by? And that's the way to work with our own selves. And then we can move into things that are becoming to our awareness, what something in our awareness, because there's so much, but to see what really kind of resonates with you to, you know, send light to when you meditate is, you know, what is it that's in the world around me that's oppressing other people that really bugs me. So whether you're Madonna and or Oprah and you're starting schools for girls in foreign countries like Africa and different places, which is a very, you know, kind of on the mega scale, just on the smaller scale, is it something within your, you know, your immediate environment or the area you live in that you feel is oppressive? And then, so once we start to work with our own shadow, which is the feeling of what oppresses us, rather than allowing us to express ourselves, we're working with the shadow as something that moves from feeling oppressed by, where we can allow ourselves to express our light. So now we don't, this takes us out of the psychological diagnosis realm. We don't have to diagnose ourselves or anything around us. We don't have to live under some kind of intellectual diagnosis. All we get to do, it's not even a have to, what we can get to do is notice, again, moving from oppression to expression. So it's two things. We can say we're moving from 3D to 4D. What's the manifestation in 4D? What's the languaging in 4D? So each dimension, there's more light, there's more room for expression. So we had to move into getting more light into the planet so we could experience the lighter density. And we have all this Jupiter influence now, astrologically, which is also bringing like planetary, more planetary expansion and more expression of the light. So it becomes actually a more fun playground, and we don't have to feel so isolated. So Gemini is also about connection and networking and community and how we can create networks of light. We worked on this a lot in the past when we first started the calls, that we were building the network of light. We were part of creating the links of the network of light, the new neural net around Gaia, around Mother Earth. So the neural net, this fourth-dimensional neural net, is actually built. But as we work with it, we actually strengthen it. So if you, I don't know if you remember from the past, those really, I mean, you used to see them when you go to restaurants and stuff, those really fine hair nets, the people where you could barely see them, like they'd cover their head with it. Well, it's like the fourth-dimensional and higher-dimensional neural net around Gaia is like one of those very fine-knit hair nets. And as we express more light, it strengthens till it becomes the dominant force field. And not dominant like dominator, but main, dominant like main. So again, we have to be careful of our words. So we're moving out of 3D, which is a dominator culture, which is power over, where people are trained to compete, try to get as much power as possible, whether it's in the form of money or, you know, to the extremes, these GMOs controlling the food supply, whatever it is. So we're moving into a more dominant, light-centered ecosystem, harmonious balance, that which allows the flow which supports and expands light rather than that which creates more shadow and chokes off the light force. So we, again, we're working with the Gemini, the networker, the communicator, the ways that we're going to network in relationship to the dominant frequency rather than the dominator culture, the fourth dimensional. So this is a reframe of how we all network and connect and work together planetarily. So we're looking at that, we're talking about that, we're imagining how could that be different and how could we move from just communicating to actually communing. And the difference between communicating and communing is when you can really feel into what's around you. You can feel into connecting with the other person's heart or the heart of the plant. So we're moving again from communicating to communion, knowing that we're living in a field of intelligence. And with every breath, we're communing with the field. And if we weren't, if the field around us didn't love us, we wouldn't be able to take our next breath. We're breathing in air, but we're breathing in really the field of love. This whole bubble, so to speak, is really a love bubble, but it's just gotten kind of, a certain way. There was whatever. We had a certain piece of the Kali Yuga, so now we can have the balance and really enjoy the communion, the feeling that we're moving into as we move into Venus, moving into Cancer. So Cancer is the emotional, watery, feeling body. So this is a good time to feel into what's around us, to feel into what you love, and to feel into what you don't love, and that's the shadow place. So feel into what you don't love, because love seeks to express itself. Love is actually an action verb, not a noun. So loving is really more accurate than love, because we live in an alive field. We are alive, so it's moving more into the experience of aliveness, and that which stops us from feeling our aliveness is what oppresses us. Whether it's our own, you know, inner process, our own stuff, so to speak, or something outside of us. So we're moving more into interacting with the field of aliveness. We're moving more into an interactive state of being. So we've got Mars in Gemini, Mars moving into Gemini, Mercury moving into Cancer, so Mars is that which pushes us forward, network, creating, talking. Mercury, the mind, the feeling state, moving more into feeling. Venus in Cancer, as we just said, and Jupiter in Gemini. So that which expands us is to network or feel into the neural net or the field in which we live and breathe in a way that creates an expansion of life, Jupiter in Gemini. We've got, this big Jupiter influence on the planet for a while. So Jupiter makes things bigger, and Gemini is the messenger. So you might notice, and I was noticing some things, you know, in the news. So the light's also expanding, but there's also, if you've heard that, you might have heard that in law enforcement now they're trying, you know, they got it passed that if you get arrested or taken in for something, even before you're, you know, judged guilty, which is very 3D, rather than looking at what needs to happen to be healed, but that's a side commentary, that they're taking DNA samples from people, which is very invasive and oppressive. So there's an example. And then they also had something last night about how Yahoo is planning to scan everybody's email, and I'm on Yahoo, to basically use the information and how they want to market things to us, to sell us, to create ads for us, or whatever. And also, even if you decide, okay, I'm not going to have a Yahoo email anymore, if you communicate with someone that has a Yahoo email, then they can also access whatever email you're using. So these are the examples of the dichotomy, the duality, the Jupiter expression of the light and the dark. Everything's expanding, so it's good for things that we feel oppress us to kind of be being taken to almost a ridiculous expanded level, so everybody can get together and say, hey, I'm not going to order any GMO crops from you. So it becomes like a global affair rather than us light workers in, you know, by ourselves or in small groups, kind of like trying to fight against the injustice of the whole world. So this is the network of Gemini. The whole world is getting into the act and saying what is really acceptable and what's not acceptable. And that's what really needed to happen. So seeing the big shift of countries refusing to accept GMO wheat crops from the U.S. is huge. It's huge and really exciting. We're moving into this this time. We're moving into this time where we have the Sun square Chiron in Pisces, meaning like something has to move. We have to move into the more spiritual realms, into the 12th house, into the experience of Pisces, the flowing of the water, of the depth of the spiritual love. It's a time to move also into the depth of the spiritual love and letting that depth come into us. The spiritual path, as we know, is the one that goes in, takes us in first, and then we can express our love outside of us, where the way we're taught in schools and the culture is, you know, look outside of yourself. And, you know, here's the history you need to memorize, here's this, here's that. Not that that's quote-unquote bad, but we're trained to identify and create our identities based on what is external. But the switch from the Piscean to the Aquarian age is to move into valuing the internal expansion. So that's the spiritual development. So that's what Sun square Chiron in Pisces is about at this time. The valuing, the healing. Chiron's the wounded healer. So the healing is for people to, again, Venus in Cancer, Mercury in Cancer, to feel into within ourselves, to move back in, for the culture, people in general, to move back into first feeling inside their own selves, their own body, what is harmonious with their own feelings, and then correlate that to the world around them rather than just having to relate and having to constantly adjust to what's around us. Like, okay, the kids don't really want to be sitting in school for how many hours a day. I remember I certainly didn't. But they have to adjust to what's outside of them, and their voices aren't really being heard. So this is really, let's look inside and see what we feel and know that we don't have to constantly, we're moving out of a place where we have to constantly be aware of adjusting to what's outside of us to feel safe, to live in this reality. So that's a huge shift. That's a huge healing. So just being able to talk about that is really awesome. Oh, we've just come out of these three eclipses, lunar, solar, and the eclipses are a time where the energies are amplified to recreate the unified field. So these eclipses have been about, like, basically, and the angelic kingdom, the masters are saying the eclipse are kind of like a stop point where they can get in and do major changes on the unified field, the structure of the unified field. So, and then we get the benefit of that. So the eclipses have been a time where things have been readjusting so that we can experience this major turning point of the collective and the individual level. So it's getting more balanced. So the energies of the eclipse, people feel them for about 3 months before, and they can go on. I mean, this is a major shift. So even though the three eclipses have happened, we're still working with the energy of eclipses, because those were just seed points where certain energies were anchored in, were seeded. So it's expansion. When we had the lunar eclipse, which was the last one, in Sagittarius, and Jupiter rules Sag, so we are moving into expansion, and, you know, what's our new vision? What's our next version of our, maybe it's the same vision, but what's the next version, or are we one step closer? And what is prosperity for us? What is abundance? In other words, what in your life and what you see in the world around you would be a Jupiterian step forward into the unknown? What would take you one step to something that you feel would expand you? So those are some of the energies that we've been dealing with at this time. And then Spirit asked me to talk a little bit about the healing process, what we do with working with, looking at reframing, releasing the shadow and the light from duality to polarity to oneness, to working with the pieces in sacred geometry up our dimensional scale. So the first step in healing, whether we're wanting to heal ourselves or if we want to heal somebody else where there's kind of healing that needs to happen, so we have to really look at what's happening right now. Where's our energy now? What's alive in us now? Or what's alive in the other person now? So again, forget all the psychological diagnosis. So let's say that we're wanting to help heal somebody else. So normally we're trained to listen intellectually, you know, culturally, to if a person's talking, to kind of analyze, okay, well, they're just this, or they're just that, or whatever. So this is really about listening to the other person from the heart and just hearing where their energy is. So what's alive in someone means what life force, what energy is present for them that wants to move through them. Because the past is really subjective. What we choose to focus on, you know, like in the same family, what would have been totally traumatic for one child could have been another child didn't have that experience at all or didn't even notice it happened or anything. So we're really looking at how that particular person that we're working with is experiencing something that's coming up for them. So we want to really keep that in mind. So once we figure out and feel, we're going to use the other person, where their energy is, then we have to feel like what's going on for us in relationship to that. So if we can feel into that and feel that we can still be present with that person, and present means neutral mind for us yogis. It means that we're not in our negative mind, we're not in our positive mind, we're not like, okay, I can fix that. We don't know what's needed for that person. So we have to really check in with ourselves and see if we can actually be present. Because Martin Buber says that the most precious gift one human being can give to another is presence. The most precious gift. Okay, I'll take presents for my birthday, thank you. You know? So it's so beautiful. So we have to look within ourselves. And if we can't be present to the other person's healing, then we need to maybe take a time out for ourselves and do what we need to do to get connected to being able to be there for the other person. So let's just say it's like the other person is telling you something, and it's perfectly okay to say, okay, just wait a minute. I'm wanting to really be able to be present for you, but I just need to take a few breaths, or I can't be present to you for this right now. I need to complete something I'm working on. Let's talk in an hour, or whatever it is, because understanding that if we're not present to the other person, we're not going to be able to actually create a transformational healing for them. Because what it really moves into is if we're not really present to the other person, what happens, and I have this happen to me quite a bit, and I'm not saying that I don't do it too, but what happens is sympathy. And sympathy is when somebody tells somebody something else, like, you know, I just had this experience where, you know, my dog died and I'm feeling really sad, and then the other person jumps in, oh yeah, and that reminds me of, you know, when da-da-da-da, my dog died and my neighbor's dog died. And then that person goes on and on with their story, and you're kind of like sitting there with your pain, and you're not healed at all. And so that's sympathy. Sympathy is when somebody else goes into their similar experience of what you're talking about. Empathy is when the other person does not go into their own experience. They move from sympathy to empathy. So first it's presence, and then noticing what is required to be present, and then noticing if you or the other person starts to go into sympathy, that's not going to bring healing. So just be aware. So take a step deeper, and when you're present, you can go into empathy because you don't have a particular agenda or a particular pain that you need empathy on. And it's okay to need empathy, but it's just what's important is to be authentic and present to what's needed. Then once you can actually be present with the other person, which means being in the heart chakra, then you can actually be in a space of empathy, and the person's free to feel whatever they're feeling, and you're totally present to allowing them basically to move that energy, move that pain, move that stuck feeling, breathe deeply with them. The mind follows the breath. Breathe with them till you're a safe container for them to release their pain or move their pain or move that energy through their body, through their psyche. So that's really the steps of how to move into this kind of shadow work healing. And you can do it with yourself. You can give yourself empathy. You can breathe into your own heart and just know, feel in your own body, if you don't have anybody around you, what's stuck for you. And you can give your own self empathy. And there's a formula for empathy, which is, I guess, you're feeling because you're needing. So you can guess for yourself, you know, but or with your, if you're with another person. So you guess the feeling, person's feeling sad or whatever it is. And then you try to guess the need because you're just really needing some friendship right now. You know, I guess you're feeling sad because your dog just died. I guess you're needing some relief. I guess you're needing to share your grief with another person. You know, because it's said that you can't really grieve alone. You really need that empathy. You need that heart connection. When you're grieving, it means that you really, it's like a loss of love. So what you're needing is like some more love, and nothing's going to actually replace, you know, what it is that you're grieving. But we can get, it means that kind of like a piece where we got our love has been taken away. So the only thing that heals love, heals grieving, is to get more love in, and it could come in a different form. So yeah, we can't grieve alone, so we just breathe into that and allow ourselves to be loved in another way. And so as we do that, what happens is then we can feel, and you can feel when you're working with another person, there's a point at which the tension of that pain starts to release. The energy starts to move through the body. The breath starts to relax. And once you feel that release of tension, that relief, now that's the healing. That's the healing. Beautiful. Okay, and the mantra that was requested for us to work with today was one of our beautiful mantras that we've worked with before, is our Das Bai. So this, again, is the prayer of the prayerless for the home of the homeless. We call on Guru Amar Das, who served Guru Ram Das and became the next guru, to bring us into that state of grace where there is no grace. Beautiful, beautiful. We remember that one of the stories of Guru Amar Das is, remember back in those times they didn't have running water, so he was an older gentleman, and he used to go to the river every day, which was a ways away, at least a mile. I think it was maybe 2 miles, I'm not sure. And he would take a jug, a clay jug, fill it with water, and carry it up this hill back to Guru Ram Das every day for his Guru Ram Das's bath. And that was his devotion, that was his seva. And one day on the way back, it was rainy and muddy, it was the rainy season, and he slipped and fell, and all the water spilled. And the people around him just laughed and said, "Oh, you silly old man, you always carry that water, and look, now you spilled it." You know, they were ridiculing and making fun of him. And he just blessed them. So, and that's just one of many stories about Guru Amar Das. But so the idea is that he didn't get disconcerted when he slipped in the mud and spilled the water. He knew what he was present to. He was present to his devotion, to his love for the guru, to that which expanded him, that which was greater than. So the shadow pieces that tried to tear him down and make fun of him and make him feel bad, it didn't affect him. So we have this beautiful mantra, so we can embody that same feeling, that same energy.
Amar Das Guru Har Das Bhai, Ram Das Guru Ram Das Guru Ram Das Guru Sachi Sai. Har Das Bhai Amar Das Guru Amar Das Guru Har Das Bhai, Ram Das Guru Ram Das Guru Ram Das Guru Sachi Sai. Har Das Bhai Amar Das Guru Amar Das Guru Har Das Bhai, Ram Das Guru Ram Das Guru Ram Das Guru Sachi Sai. Har Das Bhai Amar Das Guru Amar Das Guru Har Das Bhai, Ram Das Guru Ram Das Guru Ram Das Guru Sachi Sai.
Prayer and the caliber of our character. and may our song sustain us through any sorrow. May there be peace, always peace.
Thank you.
seeing. Right now they're sending down to us a state of grace for us and for us to allow that to come into the field. Beautiful. So just feel that state of grace. Removes karma, releases karma. There we go. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for receiving that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am grateful. The masters are grateful. Yogi Bhajan, our main teacher, is grateful. Saint Germain is grateful for us, and we are grateful for them as well. So be it, and so it is. And let it go, let it go, let it go. And when you're ready, slowly come back. And if anybody would like to share, we have a few more minutes. I felt that was really powerful myself. I'm just like feeling that state of grace kind of on a cellular level, feeling my third eye vibrate, and it's kind of coming out into my whole body. So, yeah, it feels kind of elastic. Like my tail's still kind of elastic. I never thought of that before. What about you, Arit?
I felt intense. I like I want to say like a magnet.
Yeah.
I tried to like sort of like release myself, but it kept going. Like I can't explain. Like deep. But what I wanted to say, which is beautiful, when I listened to your teaching about the sympathy and empathy, mm-hmm. and it relates to the other teaching that you gave us about healing with feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true to be, and I know for myself, I think I came that way as an empath person, and
mm-hmm.
feel too much, but when I feel too much, I have the urge of correcting it, of
mm-hmm.
healing it.
Mm-hmm.
So these two teachings are beautiful for me, and I wanted to thank you. They really are magnificent, and it's important, people, empath people, to be all over.
mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate your saying that, and I'm resonating with what you're saying, and I feel really excited about what you're saying. So thank you for receiving, and yeah, I'm just getting a lot of Jupiter expansion excitement on your sharing right now, but I'm feeling your sharing even more. So thank you. Beautiful. I love it. Yeah. It really is important, and the difference between sympathy and empathy, you know, I was using the example about, you know, the dog, which I have had, but I just have been noticing, like, even in the last week or so, just like people where I just start to say something about, you know, something that I'm going through, and they immediately go, you know, I want to talk about their experience. And it just seems a lot more present in my consciousness right now to notice the difference. So, yeah, thank you for saying that. It's important. Sympathy does not bring healing, just that simple, right?
True. Very true.
And maybe, you know, when we're going through something, we don't want to hear what somebody else went through in the past, you know? It's like, hey,
yeah,
I don't want to hear about that at this moment.
I think an empath person comes that way, you know? I think you come to this world ultra sensitive, and it's uncomfortable in the beginning because you don't know what's going on and why do you feel more.
Uh-huh.
But you know, but now I'm okay with it because I feel like if I feel it, then I am going to either correct it or not create more.
Mhm. Beautiful. That's really well said. Yeah. That's really well said, yeah. And I really so experience your words just going into the field. You know, like I have that feeling, extra sensory connection. Hey, instead of extrasensory perception, I feel like we have that extrasensory connection from perception to connection. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling an extrasensory connection with you when you're talking about your experience. I'm feeling that connection with your experience. So I like that. I like that. That's kind of fun.
Thank you.
extrasensory connection. I'm enjoying our extrasensory connection right now.
It's a beautiful teaching. Thank you, Gauri Karen. Thank you, Masters.
Thank you. Thank you, Arit.
It's so needed in our planet, so thank you.
Isn't it? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Good. Well, Satnam, everybody. It's been beautiful being with you and being with the angels today. I'm glad things are moving forward in all areas. We talked about at the beginning of the call. And we bless Jupiter expansion. And I'll be with my extra trusty connection with everybody during the week. And I will talk to you all next week. Okay.
I'm here too, so I just wanted to let you know I haven't left.
Okay, appreciate it, Tess. Thank you.